Good morning. Today's daf is daf Tezayin, and may our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, our dear friend, Yitzchak Ben Chaim, Zichrono Levracha, who passed away last night. So today's daf is Tezayin. We were on Tesvav Amud Beis at the bottom. Let's start at the second to last line. Talking about the four Tanaim who entered the Pardes, who entered the orchard, and Rabbi Akiva entered in peace and exited in peace. Rabbi Akiva Allah b'shalom v'yarad b'shalom. Rabbi Akiva entered in peace, he went up in peace, and therefore he also exited in peace. V'alav akasav omer, about him the verse says, Mashcheni, we say to the Almighty, pull me, acharecha narutza, will run after you. V'yaf Rabbi Akiva bikshu malachi asharas l'dokhvo, says the Gemara, Braisa. Rabbi Akiva also, the angels wanted to push him aside. They were upset that he was up there and seeing these secrets. Amar l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God told the angels, Hanichu l'zaken zeh, leave alone this elder sage. Shiro'ui l'ishtamish b'kvodi, he is worthy of using my honor. My darash. What did Rabbi Akiva darshin that enabled him to figure out where the Shechina was, not to look at it? Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he was thinking of the Pasuk, the Asa Merivos Kodesh. The way he read that Pasuk was, Os Hu Berevava Shalom. There's a sign in his 10,000. When you see the 10,000 angels, you know God is there. Rebavo Amar Dugal Merivava, which means Dugma, Hu Berevava Shalom. There is an example here amongst his 10,000. It's clear. When you see the 10,000 angels, okay, this is where God is. He's here. Rish Lakish Amar HaShemkish said, he interpreted the Pasuk, Adai Shem Tzvako Shemo. So, Adon Hu, he's the master. Batzava Shalom, in his Tzvakos, in his host, when he saw the host, when he saw the whole army of angels, okay, that's where God is. Rebchia Bar Abam, Rabbi Yochanan, how did Rabbi Akiva know where God was not to look there? He knew it from the Navi Eliyahu, Eliyahu HaNavi. It says in Malachim that after the story of Har HaKarmel, Eliyahu HaNavi goes and he sits in the cave, and the divine presence ultimately tells him, comforts him, gives him rebuke. The verse says there that lo beruach Hashem. First there was a wind, but God wasn't with the wind. V'achar ruach rash, after the wind there was a noise, but lo berash Hashem, God wasn't in the noise. V'achar rash eish, and after the noise of fire, lo ve'esh Hashem, God wasn't in the fire. V'achar eish, and after the fire, cold, z'mama daka, a sound of soft stillness. V'hine Hashem over, and then God was passing by. So once he saw, once he heard the cold mamadaka, he knew, okay, that's where God is, and he knew not to look. Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a braita, Shisha Dvarim Namru B'Shedim. There are six things said about the demons. Shloshak Malachi Asharis, in three ways they're like angels. Ushloshak Ibn Adam, in three ways they're like people. Shloshak Malachi Asharis, in three ways they're like angels. Yesh Lehem Knafayim Kamalachi Asharis, they have wings like angels. V'tasim Yisof Olam V'ad Sofa Kamalachi Asharis, they fly from one end of the world to the other like angels. V'yodin Mashas Elios Kamalachi Asharis, and they know what will be in the future like the angels. Ask the Gemara, Yodin Salka Daitach, really you think that the demons know what will be in the future? How would they know from themselves what will be in the future? They're demons, they're forces of evil. Ella, rather, Shomen Me'achori Apargo, they can listen in from behind the divine curtain. Kemalachi Ashares, like the angels that serve God, and therefore they can know the future, not from themselves, but they'll hear it over, they will overhear it up in heaven. Ushloshuk Ibn Adam, then there are three characteristics of the Shedim, in which they are like people. Ochlin, the Shosin, Kivne Adam, they also need to eat and drink. So they eat and drink like people eat and drink. Parin v'ravin kivne adam. They have wives, they have children, they are fruitful and multiply like people. Umesim kivne adam. And they pass away like people pass away. Shisha dvarim namru bivne adam. There are six characteristics said about people.
Shloshaki malachi asharis, three like angels, and shloshaki vehema, and three like animals. Shloshaki malachi asharis, three characteristics like angels. About people, yeshlem das kamalachi asharis, they have intelligence like the angels have intelligence. Umahalchim bekoma skufa kamalachi asharis, they walk upright like the angels. And umesaprim belashon hakodesh kamalachi asharis, people speak in the holy language like angels. Of course, there's a very famous machlokes rishonim. What makes Hebrew the holy language? The Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, it's because Hebrew doesn't really have curse words. It doesn't really have words describing the lowly features of life. They're only basically euphemisms for that, such as intercourse is bia. Bia literally means entrance. You walk into a house, it's also bia, to come in. So Hebrew is a pure holy language in that way. And others explain Hebrew is the holy language because it was used to create the heavens and the world. The world was made with Hebrew, B'dvar Hashem, Shemayim Nasu, Uveruach Piv Kol Tzvam. God's word is what made the world, as the Pasuk says, Lo'olam Hashem Dvar Chanitzav HaShemayim, that God's word Shemayim is what's maintaining the heavens. So God didn't say the word heavens, he said the word Shemayim. He used the Hebrew language, so that makes it Lashon HaKodesh. People can talk Lashon HaKodesh like the angels can talk Lashon HaKodesh. But then there are three ways, Shlosha Kivahema, there are three ways that people are like animals. Ochen v'shosin kivahema, people have appetites and they eat and drink like animals eat and drink. Ufarin v'raven kivahema, they procreate like animals. And then they have to release excrement. Motziin ri'i kivahema, they discharge excrement like animals discharge excrement. Right, going back to the Mishnah taught us, kolamistakel ba'ar ba'dvarim ro'i lo shalo ba'la olam. Anyone who looks at four things deserves not to have come to the world. What was before the world, what'll be after the world, what's to the east of the world, and what's to the west of the world. Says the Gemara, Bishmal mala 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 mata mala achor. I understand what's above the world or beneath the world, or what's to the west of the world, what's after the world. L'chaye, that I understand. Okay, God doesn't want us to know. So what's on the other side, what's later? He doesn't want us to know. It's disrespectful to try to figure that out. El lefanim, but what was before, to know what was before the world, why is that a problem? I dahava hava, whatever it was, and it's okay to figure that out. And so the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Dami Tarbai, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, both said, what was before was not as beautiful as the world that we have. We should be appreciative of the world that we have, and it's disrespecting the world that we have to investigate the world that was before this world. Mashallah melech basar v'dam, this is a parable to a human king. Sharmal Avadav, he tells his slaves, Banuli Palterin Gedolin Al Ha'ashba, build for me a large palace on a garbage dump. So they clear out the garbage dump and they build a large palace for him. Holchu Vanulo, they went and they built for him. The king doesn't want you to associate his name with the garbage dump. So therefore, the same thing is true. When we think about the world, we should focus on the world and not what was before the world. Anyone who doesn't have respect for his master's honor, ratuilo shloba olam, he deserves not to have come to the world. Mayhi, what is this further, repetition of not respecting the creator? Reb Abba Amar, Reb Abba said, zamistakel bekesha, somebody who looks at a rainbow, as I mentioned before. You have to look at a rainbow, though, because you're supposed to say a bracha when you see a rainbow. So chrabris. So there's a difference between mistakel and roeh. Roeh is to glimpse. You'll have a glimpse at a rainbow. But you shouldn't be mistakel. You shouldn't be staring at a rainbow. The same thing when in the halacha it says that a man shouldn't be mistakel be'isha. That means he shouldn't be staring at a woman. But to glimpse at a woman, that's fine. That's normal. But to stare and to try to get pleasure out of that, that's really not fair. That's lack of tznius. That's lack of modesty. So again, kol mistakel ba'ar b'dvarim, somebody who stares at four things. I'm sorry, we said that Rav Abba said that mistakel b'kesha, someone who stares at a rainbow. Rav Yosef said that ha'over avera b'seiser, someone who doesn't respect his creator is someone who does a sin in private. Think about the difference between a gazlan and a ganav. A gazlan is somebody who steals publicly, a bandit. So the gazlan pays for what he stole. A ganav is a burglar. He breaks in at night. Nobody sees. He comes in. He goes out. He pays double. Why does the ganav pay double and the goslin pay only once? The goslin, he has urges. And he's not controlling his urges. He steals in public. The ganav, he is afraid of people. That's why he goes in at night when no one watches. But he's not afraid of God. He doesn't care that God is watching, but he cares that people are watching. So that the honor of people is a bigger deal for him than the honor of God, that's very insulting to God. So he has to pay a double portion, because he's saying God doesn't watch, people watch. So that's very terrible. So that's the same thing here. Somebody who doesn't honor his creator is someone who will do a sin when no one's watching. But the fact that God is watching and no people are watching, that he doesn't care about. So he doesn't care about God's honor. All right, says the Gemara, Mistakel b'keshes. Why did Rav Abba say it's so terrible to stare at a rainbow? Because the rainbow is God's honor, and we shouldn't be staring at it. We should be, putting our head down. The Chassidus, the verse says in Yechezkel, "Kemari akeshes asher yiyev anan b'yom hagashem," like the image of the rainbow that'll be in a cloud on a rainy day. "Kemari anoga saviv," so was the image of the glory all around Hashem's throne. "Humarid muskvod Hashem," this is the image of the honor of Hashem. Rav Yosef said, "Ze ha'over aveira b'seser." Someone who doesn't respect his creator, someone who does sins when people aren't watching. Rav Yitzchak, and that's like Rav Yitzchak taught. Rav Yitzchak, as Rav Yitzchak said, "Kol over aveira b'seser." Somebody who does a sin when he thinks that nobody's watching. Kilu dochek rag v'shchina. It's as if he's pushing away the feet of the divine presence. Because in this world, Hashem's presence is here. Shneir Mitzvot says, "Ko Amar Hashem." So says God, "Hashemayim Kisi." The heavens are my throne. V'aretz Adom Raglai. But the earth is where I put my feet to rest. So if somebody is acting on earth with sins and ignoring the fact that Hashem's feet are here, that is disrespecting Hashem. It's, as it were, pushing away the feet of the Almighty. Says Marani, "Is this so?" If a person sees that his urges are overcoming him, he should go to a place where they don't know him. He should wear all black. And if he sees that his urges are overcoming, he's struggling, he's not succeeding to overcome his urge, so let him go to a place where they don't know him. Rashi explains, what does he gain by going to a place where they don't know him? There he's not going to be so confident. He won't be so arrogant. Maybe that'll weaken his Yetzihara. He'll be in a place where he doesn't know anybody. He'll feel more tentative, more humble. Maybe that'll calm down his urge. Even if he sins in such a place, Rashi adds, "Ain adam no sin lave." No one's going to pay attention to him. Because nobody knows who he is. They don't respect him. The same thing is accomplished by wearing black. Wearing black will hopefully humble a person, and no one's going to notice him. So, you should wear black. Wear a black hat. Then, and then do what his heart wants him to do. So, how can you say it's so terrible to do a sin in private? We actually direct people to do sins in private when they can't conquer their urges. Because we don't want him to do the sin where he lives. Because then people will see the sin and he'll desecrate God's name in public. It's the Gemara Lokash, it's not a contradiction. If he can conquer his urges, then he shouldn't do the sin here. If he could conquer his urges, he shouldn't do it at all. Not in private, not where he is. And this that we said, do it in private, was it a case? He can't control his urges. It's going to happen. So now once it's going to happen, at least reduce how bad it is. At least do it in a place where they don't know you, covered in black, so it's not so terrible.
So, for example, people walk on Shabbos with their phones outward, or they have headphones on. Isn't that worse than keeping it in the house?
That's very, very terrible.
It's worse being out in public.
Yeah.
Showing the sin that you're not afraid of man, you're not afraid of God.
Yeah, that's terrible. Violating Shabbos in public is terrible.
So remember that we taught that while someone's doing all these acts and they drive and they travel to this
other place to just do it somewhere distant. Hopefully during that time, it'll change your mind. And
yeah, it'll calm him down. That's right.
Darash Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Nachmani. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Nachmani, taught Mator Gamane, the Reish Lakish, the translator of Reish Lakish. Kol Hamistakel B'Shlosha Dvarim, anyone who stares at three things, Ein of Kehos, his eyes will dim. Bakashas Uvenasi Uvekoanim, someone who stares at a rainbow, at the Nasi, at the leader of the Sanhedrin, or at the Koanim. Bakashas, at the rainbow, the Chsiv, as it says, Kimari Akashas Asher Yiyeh Ve'anan Bayom HaGashem, as the image of the rainbow will be in a cloud on a rainy day, Humarid Muskvot Hashem, this is the image of the honor of God. So you can't be staring at it. Benasi, to look at the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, the Chsiv, because it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, V'nasata mehodcha alav, put from your glory on him. So he has some of the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Amistakel B'Kohanim is Manche Beis HaMikdash Kayam. And someone who's staring at the Kohanim, that's a reference to looking at Kohanim when there was the Beis HaMikdash. Shayom Bimal Duchanan, they would stand on their platform, Umavarchen Es Yisrael, and bless the Jewish people, B'Shem Forash, with the name that explicitly explains so much about the Almighty. Rav Soloveitchik gave a very beautiful tshuva drasha once, where he discussed the Rambam's formulation of the mitzvah of faith. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah writes that there's a mitzvah leida, to know sheyesha matzui rishon, that there is a first existence and a first cause. V'umamtzi kol hanimtzayim. So Rav Soloveitchik asked, why does Rambam use the word leida? Why doesn't he use the word laha'amin, to believe, ani ma'amin? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that leida is a reference to an experiential sensory awareness, not just to know intellectually, but to feel it. Think of the pasuk vayeda adam es chava ishto. That's not an intellectual knowledge, that's a sensory experience. The Rambam is saying that the mitzvah of faith is leida sheyesha matzui rishon, to go out and to constantly be aware of Hashem, to see Hashem's hand in the beauty of nature, to see Hashem's hand in the course of history, to see Hashem's hand in everything that occurs in the world, to see Hashem and to feel that you're with Him. So he suggested maybe that's what this Gemara is saying. Gemara says if a person looks at a rainbow, a person looks at a nasi, a person looks at the Kohanim when they are giving their brachos, his eyes dim. What does that mean? Maybe what it means is if a person looks at a rainbow and he sees the beauties of nature, and all he sees is the rainbow, and he's just staring at the rainbow, he's not aware this is the honor of God. This is really the honor of God. His eyes dim. Person sees the Nasi, the greatest Torah scholar, and his mastery of Torah. How much Torah he knows, and how deeply understands it, and how pious he is, and how devoted he is to the Torah. And he doesn't see godliness in that gift. His eyes dim. And if a person sees the love that the Kohanim have for Klal Yisrael, because they make their bracha, Asher kitchanu b'kdushaso shel aharon v'tzivanu levarech asamo Yisrael, v'tzivanu levarech asamo Yisrael be'ahava, who commanded us to bless his nation Israel with love. If a person looks at them and he's not, and that love doesn't make him think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then ain of Kehos, then his eyes dim. Okay, going further here in the Gemara. Tarash of Yehuda Rabbi Nachmani, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Nachmani, the Torah Gemani, the Reish Lakish, the translator of Reish Lakish, interpreted. What's the meaning of the verse? Al ta'aminu v'reya, al tiftuchu v'aluf. If the Yetzirah tells you chato, sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mochel, because God will forgive it. Al tamin, don't trust him. Shenemar, as it says, al tamin b'reya, v'ein reya el Yetzirah, shenemar ki Yetzir lev ha'adam, ra min urav. And we're reading raz, could also mean reya. V'ein aluf el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar aluf n'uriyata.
Shema Tomar, a person might say, well, I can listen to the Yetzer Hara. I'll do a sin. Me may it be. Who's going to tell, who's going to testify against me? The answer is Avnei Beso. The Koros Beso Shel Adam Hemi Idimbo. The stones of a person's home, the beams of a person's home, they will testify against him. Shenam, as it says, Ki Evan Mikir Tizak. For the stone will call out from the wall. The Chafis Me'etz Yanena. The Chacham say, Nishmaso Shel Adam Me'idabo. Person's soul is what will testify against him. Shenam, as it says, Mishocheves Cheikcha Shmor Pischei Picha. Ezu Idavish Shocheves Pecheiko Shel Adam. What lays in a person's lap, have a omerzu neshama. And Rizvika Amar Shnei Malachi Asharis Hamalavan Oso Hemi Eden Bo, the two angels that escort a person are the ones who testify against him. Shneamers, it says, Ki Malachim Yitzav Alach Vishmarcha B'chol Drachecha, for you will command his angels to watch you wherever you go. Yesha Omerim, and some say, Evarav Shal Adam Eden Bo, person's own limbs will testify against him. Shneamers, it says, Va'atem Eidai Num Hashem V'ani Kael, and you are my witnesses, said God, and I am the Lord. All right, so this Mishnah is a very important Mishnah for history, because this Mishnah teaches us about the beginnings of machlokes, of disputes in halacha between sages and disputes that don't get resolved. So this started with the early Tanaim. We know the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you know, charts out for us the order of Jewish history, of the Mesoras HaTorah, the transmission of the Torah. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Moshe got the Torah at Sinai, Masar li Yoshua, he transmitted it to his student Yoshua, Yoshua the Zakenim, Yoshua to the elders, Zakenim le Nevi'im, the Zakenim, the elders gave it to the prophets handed it over to the men of the Great Assembly, and the last of the men of the Great Assembly was Shimon HaTzadik. And then you had Antignos, Ish Socho, but then you had pairs. You had Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. You had Yoshua ben Prachya and Itayar Bailey. You had Shimon ben Shetach and Yehuda ben Tabai. Says the Mishnayos, once we got to the pairs, in other words, one sage was the Nasi, he was the president of the Sanhedrin, and then underneath him there was the Av Bezdin, sort of like the vice president, the head of the court, his assistant. So those were the pairs. Then we had the first argument. What was the first argument in Halacha? The argument was about the question of smicha. When somebody's bringing his carbon chagiga to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, normally a carbon shlamim is supposed to have the owner lean on it. There's a mitzvah to lean on it, but it's Yom Tov. We're not allowed to lean on animals on Yom Tov. That's a disadrabanan. It's not a biblical law, but you're not allowed to lean on animals on Yom Tov. But what about for a mitzvah? What about in the Beis HaMikdash? Did they make their decree in this case? That was the argument. Yossi ben Yoezer Omer, Yosef ben Yoezer said that when the person brings his karban shlamim, ishami chagiga, shalom lismoch, and Yom Tov also, even though it's for a karban, it's in the Beis HaMikdash, but since it's Yom Tov, you can't lean on the animal. Yosef ben Yochanan Omer, Yosef ben Yochanan disagreed. He said that the chachamim waived their prohibition against leaning, and lismoch, a person's allowed to lean on an animal on Yom Tov, when he brings his karban, he can lean on the karban. Yoshua ben Prachya Omer, Yoshua ben Prachya says, Shalom lismoch, not to lean. And Itayar Bailey Omer, and Itayar Bailey says, lismoch, to lean. Yudah ben Tabai Omer, Shalom lismoch, Yudah ben Tabai says, not to lean. And Shimon ben Shetach Omer, lismoch. Shimon ben Shetach used to say, to lean. Then it switched. Now the first one said, to lean. Shmaya Omer, lismoch. Shmaya said, to lean. And Yom Tov, and Avtalion Omer, Shalom Lismach. Avtalion said, you're not allowed to lean. Hillel and his understudy was Menachem, Lo Nechlegu. They didn't argue. But Yotza Menachem, then Menachem left from serving in the Sanhedrin. Nichna Shammai, Shammai took his place. Shammai Omer, Shalom Lismach. Shammai said not to lean. But again, Hillel, like Shmaya, Hillel Omer Lismach, Hillel said to lean. Harishonim, the first in all of these pairs, so the first ones were Yossi ben Yoezer, then we had Yoshua ben Prachya, then we had Yehuda ben Tabai, we had Shmaya, and we had Hillel. The first of the pairs were the Nisian. Shniyim Lahem, the ones after them, were the Avos Bezdin.
These are common error already?
No.
This is during the Beit HaMikdash?
second Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, this is... Josephus writes that Herod, who was about 100 years before the loss of the second Beis HaMikdash, that Herod was a contemporary of Shammai. And that's the last, the end here. The last pair was Hillel and Shammai. So that was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, times of the Second Temple.
Sanhedrin,
yeah, the Sanhedrin, sure.
Why were there pairs if there was Sanhedrin?
The president and his understudy. The Nasi and the Abbezdin. At the top of the Sanhedrin, you have 70 regular sages, and on top of them another two. Okay. There's 72 sages in total. So there's the Nasi, the president, and the vice president, let's call it. Av Bezdin. In Israel, the Eda Haredis, the old Jewish settlement, so they still have this structure. They have what they call the Gaivid, the Gavad, the Gaon Av Bezdin. His name is Rabbi Weiss. And then they have the Rav Av Bezdin, the Ra'avad. That's Rabbi Sternbruch. So you have the president, the Nasi, and then his understudy. Tanar Abanim lived in a Braisa, same thing. Shloshim Yizugos Harishonim, Sha'amru, Shalol Lismoch. Three of the first pairs, the ones who were saying in the first pairs not to lean. Ushnaim Yizugos Harchonim, and then the two of the latter pairs who said, Sha'amru Lismoch, who said to lean. Hayu Nesiim, these were the presidents of the Sanhedrin. Ushnaim Lahem, and their ones right after them were the Avos Bezdin. We're the heads of the court, the understudies. Divrei Rabbi Meir, the Sugur Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Rim, the Chachamim say, Yehuda ben Tabai Av Bezdin. Yehuda ben Tabai himself was the Av Bezdin, but Shimon ben Shetach was the Nasi. Says the Gemara, Man Tan Allaha, the Tan Rabbanan. Between this argument, between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Again, according to Rabbi Meir, Yehuda ben Tabai was the Nasi. According to the Chachamim, Shimon ben Shetach was the Nasi. Well, who is the Tan of the following story that we have in a Braisa? We know that there's something called Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomimim are false witnesses. Witnesses who are trying to convict somebody by testifying falsely about him. Let's say two witnesses show up and they say that they saw Yehuda in New York City on March the 11th, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, kill Shimon. So those witnesses are witnesses. Now two other witnesses come and say, these two witnesses, they couldn't have been there on March 11th because they were with us somewhere else. Imanu Aisem. So they become false witnesses, Edim Zomim. So a story we have in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai said, Ereb ben Acham, I swear, Im lo harakti eid Zomim, I swear that I once killed a single false witness. Lahutzimi liban shel tzedukim, because I wanted to disprove the Sadducees. Shayom, they used to say, that the false witnesses are only killed once the victim of their false testimony is killed. Amar lo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach said to Yehuda ben Tabai, Ereb ben Acham, I swear, Yem lo shafach ledam naki, that you spilled innocent blood. Because the sages have said, Ein edim zom neragim, the witnesses can't be killed, ad shi yizomu shnehem, until both of them are convicted of being false witnesses. You can't convict a single false witness. Vein lokin, and if it's not death, it's lashes, ad shi yizomu shnehem, they both have to be zomim. Ein mishal mamo, they wouldn't pay money, ad shi yizomu shnehem. So you did the wrong thing in just convicting a single one. There's no such thing as convicting a single one. And you convicted a single one and you killed him. So that's killing innocent blood. Kibel Alav Yehuda ben Tabai accepted on himself. Sheino Mora Halacha Elav B'Knei Shimon ben Shetach. That he would only teach laws from then on. With Shimon ben Shetach there. And Shimon ben Shetach could correct him. Furthermore, Kol Yamav Shal Yehuda ben Tabai, the rest of the life of Yehuda ben Tabai, he would stretch himself out on the grave of that person who had been killed. And people heard a voice. People thought it was the voice of the person who was killed. Told him, no, it's my voice.
Tell you what's the proof. Shalomachu meis. Tomorrow I'm going to pass away. Vein kolon nishmi. You're not going to hear my voice anymore. Amli Ravach abrei the Rebbe Ravashi. Ravach the son of Rebbe said to Ravashi. That's not such a proof. Even if the voice stops, it doesn't mean that it's Yehuda ben Taboy's voice. Demo kusei paisei. Maybe Yehuda ben Taboy got up there, and it was really the voice of this false witness, but he calmed him down. He made up with him. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe the false witness summoned him to judgment, to being held to account. And he was held to account, and that's why he's no longer complaining. So now, this is the Braisa. Says the Gemara. Let's go back to the question. Who was the Nasi? Who was the Av Beis Din? Was Yehuda ben Tabbai the Nasi? Or was Shimon ben Shetach the Nasi? So Maniya, who's this Braisa? Yamad Bishlam Rabbi Meir. If you're going to tell me it's Rabbi Meir, that would work. Tamash Shimon ben Shetach Av Beis Din, who says Shimon ben Shetach was the understudy. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai was the Nasi. So I know that's why he made a psak. And then he said, I was wrong. Okay, now I'm going to subdue myself to my student, or to the understudy. I'm going to listen to him now. That's why initially he wouldn't always consult with Shimon ben Shetach. And he would issue a ruling in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach. But if you're going to say that the Braisa is the view of the sages, the Amu, you say, Yehuda ben Tabbai, Av Beis Din. Yehuda ben Tabbai was always the understudy. Shimon ben Shetach was a Nasi. So Av Beis Din, Mifnei Nasi, Mimora Halacha. Can an Av Beis Din ever paskin in the presence of the Nasi? So how could he have ever paskined to kill this aid Zomim? Answers the Gemara. Lo, no, it's not a proof that Yehuda ben Tabbai was the Nasi. Yehuda ben Tabbai may have been the Av Beis Din. He was the Av Beis Din. I said, how did he issue the initial psak? If the Nasi is here, maybe the Nasi wasn't here. Maybe Shimon ben Shetach was away on a trip. So that question came to him. So then he gave the psak to kill that single eight zomi. What does it mean he accepted on himself? He was always, you know, if Shimon ben Shetach was around consulting with him. What it means is, my kibbul alav, what did he accept on himself? To kamar leads to rufe. That means, in terms of joining a new case. It's terufin nami lom. It's terufin nami lom. It's terufna. He wasn't even going to join a case with other judges unless Shimon ben Shetach was there. Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos says what it means. Lom it's terufna. He wouldn't even follow a majority against Shimon ben Shetach. So of course, Shimon ben Shetach was the Rebbe. Wouldn't be right to issue piskei halach in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach. But what does it mean that he said, going forward, he's always going to consult with Shimon ben Shetach? It means he's going to rely on Shimon ben Shetach, even if there's a majority against Shimon ben Shetach. He's going to rely on Shimon ben Shetach. We learned in the Mishnah, Yatza Menachem. Menachem exited. Where did he go? The Heichan Yatza. Where did Menachem go? Abai Amar Yatza Latar Basroi. He went out to the bad behavior. He became a sinner, like Acher. Rav Amar, Rav said, Yatzal Avodas HaMelech. He went out to get involved in working for the government. Tanya Yachi also going to brace it this way. Yatzal Menachem Avodas HaMelech. Menachem went out to work for the government. The Yatzu Imo, Shmonim Zugos Talmidim Levushe Sirikon. And out with him also went 80 pairs of students wearing royal purple garments. Amar Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Shemin Bar Abba said to Rav Yochanan, Lo'olam al tishvus kala be'enecha. No one should ever treat rabbinic law lightly. Sharei smicha eina ela mishum shvus. The whole issue of leaning on an animal on Yom Tov, that's not a biblical sin. No one would say it's a biblical sin. It's only possibly rabbinic sin. V'nechleku bug dole ador. And yet the giants of the generation argued about it. Says the Gemara of Shita. Of course, that's the case. That's what's going on here. I'm telling you even more. Shvus, and it's standing in the way of doing a mitzvah. It's tricholei. Right? Because here it's a mitzvah of smicha. And even so, just for the sake of shvus, for an isidra banan, you shouldn't do it. And that's the issue of the biggest dispute.
But Rabbi, I thought the lower generation, Sanhedrin couldn't argue on a decree that the older Sanhedrin imposed.
Correct.
Why are they even arguing?
They're trying to figure out what was the earlier, what was imposed.
But they had They forgot
in periods of persecution. They forgot. So the question is, what are we allowed to do? People would forget over. There were a lot of periods of persecution, Greek persecution, Roman persecution. People forget very quickly.
Rabbis discussed before, Russia.
Russia took maybe 20 years till everybody forgot everything, basically.
And that's with the written books.
Yeah, and we had written books.
It saved me 10 minutes.
Right. Me too. So it's.
That's why you come here, remind
we all forget, that's right.
Chazar, 101 times.
That's also obvious. That's what we're talking about, a rabbinic law in the presence of a mitzvah. And so the Gemara, this is to exclude from the one who says that they were arguing whether there is a need for smicha on shlamin that are an obligation. So no, everybody agrees that you have to have smicha on a shlamin, which is obligation, but they're arguing about whether you can do it on Yom Tov. They were arguing on a rabbinic law. You see from this whole discussion, that the leaning on an animal has to be with all of a person's strength. But if you don't need all of your strength, what's the big deal? You should be able to lean even on Yom Tov. You don't have to put all your strength on the animal. Asks the Gemara, I'll challenge you. We learned, the verse says, speak to the Jewish people and he should lean. From there we learn, B'nai Yisrael somchen, the children of Israel, the ones who lean, V'nai B'nos Yisrael somchos, the daughters of Israel do not lean. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, B'nos Yisrael somchos v'shus. The daughters of Israel are allowed to lean if they want to. We give them permission to do so. Amr Rabbi Yossi said, "Sachli Abba Elazar. Abba Elazar told me a story. Pam Achas. Hayolanu Egel Shalziv Cheshlam. We once had a calf that we were bringing as a shlamim. Avinu Lezras Nashim. We brought it into the Beis Hamikdash of the Ezras Nashim. The Samchu Alav Nashim, and the women leaned on it. Not because there has to be leaning. Not that the women have to lean. Elak Dei Lasas Nachasurach Lanashim. Just to make the women happy." We let them do it. If you're going to tell me that we need to lean with all of your strength, because we want the women to be happy, are we going to allow for someone to work a sacred object, to lean on a sacred object? So what do we see? Now we see from here, we don't need all of your strength. Says Gemara, no. Really, I can tell you that we do need full strength. And nevertheless, for the women, to Amaluhu, Akfu Yodaihu. For the women, he tells them, keep your hands light. Yachis, if so, let me finish a smicha benashim. It's not that we're letting the women do a smicha, typically, Daniel, a smicha klal. Just say, they're not really doing a smicha. They're just putting their hands over the karban. They're not leaning on the karban. And Rabbi Ami said, that's in fact what's going on. Chad of Od Kamar. One reason plus another is what he's saying. Chad of the Leis L'Smicha Klal. First of all, what we let the women do is not really a smicha. They're just putting their hands over it. And furthermore, K'dei L'Asos Nachas Ruach L'Nashim, we would let them do it so that they should be happy. Amar Rav Papa said, Shmami, now you see from this whole discussion, that Stadin Asurin, that when we're not allowed to use an animal, you can't use any part of the animal, even the sides of the animal. Not just you can't sit on the back of the animal. If you're going to tell me that you're allowed to use the sides of the animal, this smoke, then a person should be able to lean, because leaning is kitzdadim dami. Because leaning on the head is like using the side, it's not like riding it. So you see from here, stadim asurim, that even the sides of an animal can't be used on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rav Ashi said, no. If you attain stadim mutar, even if you say that using the sides are not prohibited, but to lean on the head is not using the side, it's using the back, because called the Bahade Gaba, everything which is straight, flat, together with the back, Kigaba Dami is like the back, and therefore you can't ride on the animal, you also can't lean on the animal. Okay.